Welcome back. We are here, Technori, the showcase. We're inside of the WGN Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. What a cool, perfect day in Chicago it is. We've got the Final Four tonight. Pretty excited. We're going to recap what happened this week in tech. We're going to talk to some pretty cool founders. We'll be catching you up on this. But first, what did you miss last week? Tuesday night, we had the Technori Startup Showcase. We host this at the end of the month, the last Tuesday of every month. Well, every month since about 2010. This month, we celebrated Women's History Month, which was March. We're obviously in April now. But a little recap, we had Tasty Trade co-CEO Christy Ross, who directly addressed working moms and women in tech. It was a very moving address. A lot of people have been tweeting about it. We've actually, to be totally honest, we had over 100,000 Twitter impressions from Tuesday night's event. So it caught fire, I guess is the best way to put it. We had almost 400 people in attendance. And one of the cool parts, for me at least, as the host of it, was that almost 80%, roughly 80% of the people had never been to a Technori event before, which is amazing when you think about, for years, it was probably 50 or 60% return people all the time. So we're finally starting to get a lot of new people. And I found that a lot of people were you the listeners. We had a whole bunch of people who said that they heard our show last week and they showed up at the event and loved it. So thank you for coming. For those of you that didn't go, here's what you missed. Five really, really great startups were there, including Party Slate, which basically is house if you're into the housing and filling your house market. It's house for parties. If you don't know how to throw a party and you don't want to have to figure it out and handle it on your own, you can look at some of the greatest parties, the greatest things going on as far as event space go, and hire somebody to do it for you in a very professional and cool manner. That was an incredible presentation. People seem to be very excited about that. Another one that was really cool and different, Canine Fitness. That is Canine Fit Club, which I don't know how to put it in a great way. It's like Peloton, but instead of using your bike, you've got your pooch. So you bring your puppy in and you can work out, and they've got all kinds of training things for how to make your pooch be a little bit more engaging in your workouts. It was really fascinating. So that's just an example of some of the things you missed. But if in case you couldn't come this past Tuesday, don't worry. April 25th, the end of this month, we've got another great showcase. We're bringing in companies from The Generator, which is in Madison, Wisconsin. It's an accelerator that has caught a lot of attention. They've had a couple of companies already have exits in a very short amount of time, so that's pretty cool. And our keynote is none other than Chicago's Al Goldstein, who is the CEO of Avant Credit, which is a unicorn. That's a company that's valued at well over $1 billion. Now we are on to what is hopefully another great show for you. We'll be talking about the future of hiring talent and how one of Chicago's startups is bringing stories to life through music. But first, let's feed on some of this week's Tech Bites with our weird friend, Sean Frelick.
I'm Sean Frelick, host of Technori's The Feed, where I dish out hearty servings of top tech news with a bonus slice of weird. Let's feed. Northwestern's Kellogg School of Management opened the doors to its $250 million global hub. The space is bigger than 7 football fields. Hut, hut. The Global Hub allows full-time MBA students to enjoy 4 luxurious wings built around a central collaboration plaza with Spanish steps leading to 15 classrooms that could fit up to 70 students. The Kellogg School raised $350 million through fundraising, with the hub being the crown jewel of the investment. And hey, you single entrepreneurs out there, you listening? Why not take your date to the lighted plazas of the Global Hub Dining Hall, where you can enjoy a view of Lake Michigan paired with a glass of Chardonnay, perhaps? Speaking of MBAs, how much would you make after grad school if you worked at a startup instead of a more established company? According to the Chicago startup Transparent Career, MBAs who join a startup can expect to earn $15,000 less than if they got hired by an established corporation. But what's the trade-off? Well, if you do join a startup, you have the opportunity to gain ownership through equity. But if you obtain equity in a company that sinks, well, that's tough. Google's automated ad service is coming under fire after companies are finding their ads popping up on pages with hateful and racist content. This is due to programmatic advertising, which places ads on pages based on demographics. So if you're targeting millennials, understand that there are millennials that belong to hate groups. Big-name companies like AT&T and The Guardian have pulled their ads, while Google is looking to strengthen the service. Finally, this week's Technori shout-out goes to Wenting Ji, who created the Clutch app. This service is for office dwellers who don't care about sports but want to know about them in order to connect with coworkers and clients. The app gives you a quick rundown of top sports stories so you're not left clueless when you stand at the water cooler. But a piece of friendly advice, don't stand there too long. You don't want your coworkers to think you're some weirdo. Wow, geez, I'm full. When your appetite again grows ravenous, find me online every Monday night on Technori and WGNRadio.com or slide into my DMs for something special.
Thank you so much, Sean. Thanks for keeping it not too weird. But I want to talk a little bit about what you mentioned when it came down to Kellogg and the students that are graduating and thinking that they're going to come into startups and find, let's put it this way, find a livable wage. On our podcast this week, we had the Coleman Center of Entrepreneurship director, Bruce Leach, on, and he was speaking about how DePaul as a whole is working really, really hard to try to pair startups and corporations with potential graduates so that they can actually take advantage of an employable wage, a wage that they can live on, as well as actually work within a company that has startup opportunities, essentially, you know, the mini startup ventures that are inside of companies. I'll give you an example, Tidespin, who's been on the show before with Amy Guth. Tidespin is obviously owned by the name that you've heard of, Tide, Procter & Gamble, but they also run startup companies within the major corporation, and that's an opportunity for people. The other thing, is this is a great segue, is our next guest, Nick Kromaitis, who is the founder of Hunt Club, is going to talk a little bit about how recruiting is changing and how hiring is changing, and that sort of fits into all of these millennials and people graduating from Kellogg and DePaul and University of Chicago and looking for a good job and how are they going to get it. Before we take a break here, as always, we want to hear from you. Follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Technori, hit us up, get involved in this conversation. We'd love to answer your questions. We're going to take a quick break. I'll be back with Nick Kromaitis, the founder of the Hunt Club, and talk about the future of hiring. I'm Scott Catoon, and you're listening to WGN Radio 720. I'm Scott Catoon. We're back in the Showcase studio with Hunt Club founder Nick Kromaitis and Allie Smith. Welcome.
Thanks for having us, Scott.
So this is great. You were talking before the show that this is your first time in this studio. You've been walking by many times where all these people are wandering past us. So welcome.
Lifelong Chicagoan. We've walked by it a million times. I've never been in here. I'm psyched.
This is awesome. I feel like sometimes like the way that the show started, maybe I've never been in here either.
There you go. Well, we're both first timers.
We are.
Well, and I've seen Allie. Welcome again. This is what three out of five that are four out of more than that.
Are you sick Tuesday, of me yet?
No. Who gets sick of you? You're amazing. It's no. There's
well,
no
thank
way.
You.
So we're going to talk about a few things. One, obviously, Hunt Club, what it is. Mm-hmm. But I think this is a really cool opportunity for our listeners because there's a major shift going on, and we talked about this before. There's a major shift going on with recruiting and hiring. And whether it's companies like Hired that kind of changed the way that people were being hired from the tech side of things to LinkedIn, and I don't even want to get into what like LinkedIn is and becoming and what it's going to become. I know I'm excited about Microsoft and everything and like it, their the acquisition and how they can do something, but overall, LinkedIn is a little bit messy. So you guys have come up with a very streamlined model. But before we talk about what Hunt Club is, I want to know a little bit about what you thought or what you saw in the recruiting, hiring, industry, both of you coming from it, or at least Allie coming directly from recruiting, that you thought could be fixed and done better.
Yeah, so it was interesting. So I'd started a totally different business. It was called New Coast Ventures. It's still around today. But it's essentially the reason why we started Hunt Club was that I had been referring people left and right directly to recruiters for jobs. So a recruiter would hit me up and say, you know, Nick, do you know Scott? How do you know Scott? Do you think he'd be open to talking to me about a position? And I'd say, sure. You know, Scott, meet recruiter, recruiter, meet Scott, introductions made. Scott takes that meeting because it's coming from somebody he maybe knows. And now the recruiter has a warm introduction. And so like it happened about 10 to 12 times over the course of a year. And, you know, basically, I felt like I was paying somebody's mortgage by the end of it, making these introductions. And one out of every 10 times, 12 times, maybe I'd get a bottle of wine and a thank you. And no one does it for money, but it never really sat right to me.
Everyone does it for money.
Recruiters do it for money.
Yeah. Recruiters do it for money. But here's the thing. This is a great way to segue into what Hunt Club is because recruiters, everyone does it for money at the end of the day. Because if I make an introduction to you, I'm not going to introduce you to somebody who I know as a valued contact unless I think that it's going to create value for me and that person's going to want to return the favor, whether it's you returning the favor or the person be like, you know what, when it comes to finding a trusted source, I go to Scott. Like that I'm looking for a return. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's not self-serving.
And that's the traditional recruiter playbook. They have a Rolodex of people that they always go back to and they source for roles. And that process is so manual and archaic. It was around since the industry was born in the late 70s. So,
yeah, and that's, I think, the cool thing about what we're doing, applying technology and network effects over kind of the traditional recruiting model with white glove service to help people get the best roles. So what we're doing that's really different is we've got this network of over 1.5 million potential referrals. So over 3,000 potential influencers. We call our referrers influencers, who are connected to over 1.5 million people that refer for your open position. So if you think about the inefficiency of a recruiter calling saying, hey, are you interested? Who do you know? Hey, are you interested? Who do you know? We basically streamline and crowdsource that.
So I guess one of the questions I think that at least I would have, and I'm sure that the audience here would have, is the influencer thing. Everyone hears about it now. I mean, it's a big deal, whether it's on Twitter, you've got the Kim Kardashians of the world. And sometimes the influencer's whole job and whole interest is just attention. Mm-hmm. And so they're just like racking all social media to get as many followers as they possibly can. And they have no idea who they are. And if I'm a person, for me, I would say I've got like 3,000, you know, connections on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I know most all of them actually, but a good portion of people, I have no idea who they are. And so if I dump all of my LinkedIn connections into you, how does it sort out to where I can be very sure that before you use my network, that I can vouch for them? How does that work?
Yeah, so it's essentially if we find somebody in your network using our algorithm that looks great for a role, you get something in your inbox that says essentially, do you want to refer them? And so the cool thing before that happens is we're actually building technology out that allows us to understand the strength of that connection. So we can actually see maybe these 17 people wouldn't be a great fit because he doesn't really know them. And then these two people actually are. Let's go through that. And then the other part of the recruiting model that we do is we actually assess every single referral that comes through. So we don't just let people blindly refer one another. We make sure that we put a front gate up to make sure that they're actually great for a job too.
Very cool.
And we would never reach out to anyone on anyone's behalf. There's confidentiality to us. We know that people have curated these networks over their lifetime. So there's no way that we would reach out to anyone without your consent.
The Hunt Club promise.
Promise.
The Hunt Club promise.
Well, Hunt Club promise.
Let's talk about other promises. I mean, the reason that Hunt Club is so cool is that I can make money on this at the end of the day. So talk to me, walk me through sort of the financial model here a little bit where at least you don't have to, no secret sauce, no syrup in it necessarily. but you know, tell us a little bit how I as an influencer can make money and how this saves money for the company that's recruiting talent.
So you as an influencer, essentially, when you refer somebody and they get an interview, you can make anywhere from $100 to $300 just for them getting an interview.
So they don't even have to get the job.
Right.
Not even get the job. And so it makes it super sticky for our influencer base. Over 90, I think our engagement rate's like 92% where people actually, when they get our notification in their inbox, they take action on it.
See, that's the thing. That's the problem. It's the first kind of all of these combined factors that exist, really, to my knowledge. It's not the first marketplace that we try to connect the influencers and people.
Marketplaces are blowing up.
Yeah, they're blowing up. But the problem is, and there's a whole bunch of them in all kinds of different areas, whether it's, you know, sales, leads, pipelines, things like that. The problem that I'm seeing in them is that as an influencer, it's not going to turn this into my full-time job. Like, I'm not going to run around and chase people down and just hope that you're a heck of a salesperson or you do a hell of a job with interviewing. Like, that's not enough for me. I need to know that I'm going to get compensated regardless.
Yep.
And that's the part that I think you were doing so right here, is that I can make $100 to $300 for the time it took me to make the intro, so I'm not being taken advantage of. And then if they do get a job, what happens next?
Yeah, so you can make actually anywhere between $2,000 to $5,000 for that placement. And so we've got a couple influencers. I almost feel like we are a second job for them because they're so well connected. They constantly refer people, and when someone reaches out, they listen. So,
and so we parcel out the success fee. So a retainer, a traditional search firm, a retained firm, has a retainer usually of 33% that does not get shared with the successful candidate. It's in the pocket of the firm. So we think that if you're giving a qualified referral, you deserve to have a portion of that success fee.
Well, I think you do deserve that. I mean, obviously, I think everyone should. We are in a referral world now. Everyone is connected. And that's one of the reasons I think media is getting blown up too, because we're in sports. Amy was on here before this show talking about ESPN and cord cutting. One of the reasons that things have gotten so crazy is that I'm connected to that person who could well be connected to Jonathan Taves.
Mm-hmm.
And I can make a comment and say something and connect with these people. And in the work world, I'm only a few connections away from, you know, Bill Gates. Like it's not that far. Yeah. I can reach him. So there's going to be a financial model that's souped around this whole thing at some point anyway. And you guys are just the ones who are doing it. So I think for those who feel a little uncomfortable about it, I guess my only thing I can tell you is get used to it. Cause this is, in my opinion, you guys are the future of hiring. I really do believe that.
Well, and you want to see your network succeed and grow and get great jobs. I don't think changing careers and jobs should be that hard.
No. And I think the other, if you talk about the business reason, like we can make a more efficient model leveraging crowdsource referrals and technology. But the truth of the matter is today's market, we talked about LinkedIn, good people, the right opportunities is getting missed on like cold messaging, spam, mm-hmm. in-mails, all these things that's impersonal where no one's really understanding.
I respond to everybody. Yeah. I just respond to everybody.
You're great. You're great like that.
I was going to, come on. Who has time for that?
No.
Do you have time for that, Scott?
No, I don't, but I still do. I'm a nice guy. I'm a really nice guy.
He's a nice guy. That's why we're here. You listen to us. We reached out and you put him out.
No, but you make a great point. And here's the other thing. And Allie, you kind of touched on this or set it up, is we are entering again into and even further into the gig economy, mm-hmm. where the average person is not going to work for 35 years at one company. They're going to work at 35 companies for 35 years, more likely. And so when we connect the dots, when we use Hunt Club, we connect the dots, it makes it even better because I can truthfully say, like, I probably worked with you mm-hmm. at one point. 5 years ago, I worked with you at this company. And so I can absolutely refer her. I worked with her.
Totally.
And the whole thing becomes communicated where it's like, instead of me going out of my way and just helping you out and hopefully, you know, around the corner sometime you set me up and I get paid back. I can get paid back now. I got paid back because I just got paid literally for making the introduction. Brilliant.
Right. Absolutely. No, I think, and that's the model and it's what we're excited about building.
Very cool. Well, we only have a minute and a half here left, but I just want to kind of touch on one thing as a founder of a company. What are some of the things that Chicago has brought to you? Why Chicago? Why do you see this being sort of the, I know you're in other markets, but why is Chicago so important to you to get Hunt Club off the ground?
You know, I think the next renaissance of entrepreneurship is really going to take place in the Midwest. You think about what opportunities are ripe for disruption. It's taking technology and applying it to industries and places it's never touched before. So we're big believers in the Midwest being the next place for that renaissance of entrepreneurship for a number of different reasons. So I think it's really important that we build this the right way in our backyard.
Oh, I completely agree. And Allie, I mean, you've been in recruiting for quite a while, and I have to ask you are you employee number one? What's the...
No.
Nine, eight,
yeah.
Eight,
Nick built out a fantastic team, and I'm lucky to join it.
But you're still in the top 10, though.
Oh, she's top 10 for sure.
I mean, you're going to be top 10 anyway.
We have power rankings all the time. She's like 3 or 4. No, I'm kidding.
What was the attraction? Because you worked for traditional recruiting. What was the attraction to pull you into something that's, you know, really very different model than what you're used to?
Absolutely. I was frustrated. With the lack of transparency between the client and the candidate. Just the manual process of the first 4 to 6 weeks of a search. Hunt Club circumvents. So our average age of completion is hovering around 32 right now. Industry standards, 140. So we have the time and the dedicated resources that we can plug back to the client and be a true advisor as they're thinking through and building out their human capital functions and putting the right people in the right places, because we're not inundated with all of the manual research. So that's what attracted me. When I met Nick, I knew he was onto something huge. The influencer network, obviously us as this younger generation coming up, we're thinking about changing jobs differently. We're thinking about careers differently. And we're thinking about our curated networks differently. So it checked every box for me.
I would say so. This is awesome. Thank you guys so much. Where do people go to learn more about Hunt Club?
Yeah, they can check out www.huntclub.co.
Very cool. Thank you guys
awesome.
So much for coming.
Thanks, Scott.
Appreciate
of course.
Having us.
She's not a regular mom. She's a cool mom. The kind that's blaring shoot when she picks you up from school, mom. She's young and hard and she got the brains. How many mamas you know be bumping 2 Chainz? She's an all-star. She's a number one.
Welcome back to the Showcase Studio. I'm your host, Scott Gattun, and this is Technory Live from WGN Radio. We're here with Songfinch executive producer Michael Stark. What you just heard is our new song. It's not our new song. It's Thank You, Mama. It's a song that was created by Songfinch. Mother's Day is around the corner, right?
It most certainly is.
My mom is sitting in the green room, so I suppose that I shouldn't act like I'm surprised by the fact that Mother's Day is around the corner, and this could be a song I could give her because it's a great one. What I think is cool about Songfinch, and what everyone in the audience is going to like about this is, you turn stories, life stories, business stories, which you're going to talk about in a little bit here, into sort of bring them to life through music.
Yeah.
You guys have been featured on Fox. I've seen you on a bunch of things. And of course, Michael Stark, I've seen you in front of me on my show many times before. This is 3 years ago, I think, is when we first did this.
Third or fourth time the charm. It's been a long way since we've been on the podcast.
You know what the cool thing is, Michael? Each time I've had you on, and this, I don't... This is going to be funny. I don't know how this is going to be taken by you or the audience or myself. Each time we come on, we are working on something totally new. The first time that I met you, we were talking about CLA. which you're happy to plug right now if you want. Chicago Leadership Alliance, very great organization.
Check us out, thecla.org. We're doing amazing things, organizing millennial leaders to create the future we want to see here.
There you go. And there's a bunch of really, really great causes they work with. I do recommend people go to cla.org. But that was the first thing we were talking about. And then fast forward about 6-8 months later, and I had you coming in, and we were talking about you were doing starting your own show with Mably, and that was the Michael Stark Show.
Yeah, you generously showed me the ropes on my 6-episode run with the Stark Show on Advisor TV. That was a heck of a lot of fun, but on to greener pastures again.
And now here you are again, and we're talking about Songfinch. And the one cool thing about this is that you stayed in, you know, people listening are going to think like, okay, wait a minute, get this started. Community organizing, and then we went to your own show, and now we're talking about a music app. And on top of that, you know, by the way, you are an MBA and a lawyer from Loyola.
Recovering attorney.
Recovering. So we have to watch what we say with you because, you know, everything is on the record. Well, this is literally, it's being recorded. There's people watching. I don't want anyone to sue me. But people might be wondering, how does a person have a career where it starts as an MBA JD, then I'm a community organizer, then I got a podcast, now I got Songfinch. And I look at this, as you look at this, as they're all very similar. One is about growing a huge audience, and the other one's about giving them content that they enjoy. And the other one's about making a difference with what they do. And Songfinch, in my mind, does exactly that. It gives an audience of people a way to enjoy and experience your life.
Yeah, and you know, the best audience is the one person you love or your best friends or family, or in Mother's Day's case coming up, your mom. It's like that Thank You Mama song. You'd get your own version of that. And Songfinch, we've got over 250 artists from around the country and even in a few other countries now. So whatever you come to our site and tell your story, whether that's memories, inside jokes, nicknames, that time you know, your friend fell down a flight of stairs in college, whatever it might be, we take that, you select your mood, and then you select your genre, the type of music you want, whether it's folk, whether it's indie pop, country, hip-hop, R&B. And then we curate that and pair that with the perfect artist to bring your story to life. And the coolest part is not in the creation, although the creation experience is really cool and there's this pride of authorship that comes in creating these songs. It really comes when you get to give it to that loved one and the surprise on their face. It's really just an incredible experience. As somebody who's given out many songs and given these as gifts, I look forward to it every time.
Well, you know, here's the thing, and I'm going to be totally honest because I know I got your friend, so I can say this to you and not feel like you're going to be mad at me. When I first heard, you mentioned to me a while back, you were going to get involved with Songfinch. And I have, as a person who's worked with startup companies and innovation concepts and projects for the last 3 or 4 years, I've heard a handful of pitches like this. The one that comes to mind for those of you in the audience who aren't quite as ingrained in the tech community, it would be on Shark Tank. They had the guy who draws kitty cats. He draws cartoon kitty cats, and you can basically have like a kitty cat of yourself made, and he sends it to you. That's very similar to this, only obviously art and paper versus song. That's the one that has been a hit. Otherwise, I've heard a ton of these kind of things. And what ends up happening is I end up paying a little money and I get kind of a, you know, crappy song, for lack of a better term. It's not really well thought out. It's not really something I would listen to more than once. It's kind of like, oh, okay, that was fun. This is so different. You're giving me a song. Like, I would listen to that song. And I know you are working on another song.
I am. I actually just this morning submitted a song brief telling the story of our friendship and our journey from podcasts and now sitting here on Michigan
Showcase
Avenue
Studio,
watching the tourists go by.
That is the coolest thing. So for those of you who don't know, we also have a podcast, Technory Live, which is at WGN as well. And so we're going to have that song ready to go. You say it's 7 days or less, you get these songs, right?
Yes. I mean, we guarantee delivery in 7 days or less, and it's only $200. But for all the friends of the show, we're going to do a special promo code, Technori20. Enter that at checkout, and you'll get $20 off your first song. So
very cool.
And you know, kind of touching on what you were saying about all these other companies trying to do customization, but really doing this you know, half-cocked version of it. That's been one of our biggest challenges, is how to overcome that and tell people and really explain to them what we do, that when you do this, you're getting a 100% original custom radio quality song from a professional artist. And for $200 in 7 days or less, to tell your wife that you love them for an anniversary, to tell your mom for Mother's Day just how much she means to you, or to send your kid off to college and remind them where they came from and what their values are. People are using these for all different kinds of occasions. I mean, we have the privilege of telling the story of a Marine who took his own life and made a song for his widow, for her kids, so she could remember him as the man he was, and that their kids knew him as the father that he was, not how he tragically ended. And that's a responsibility we take very seriously, and our artists take very seriously as well. And And when you hear something that moving and powerful, it's like we really take pride in putting meaning back in music and getting people to listen to the lyrics again.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a couple things that I want to talk on. I don't want to go too far into the weeds in this, but I think, you know, if you're cool with it, we're going to go to a commercial break in a little while. I'd love to have you stick around for a couple minutes after the break because you are a unique individual in that, as we mentioned in the intro, you've worked on a lot of stuff. You know a lot of people in town. The previous guest we just had on Hunt Club, you're an influencer on Hunt Club as well.
I am indeed. And Nick and them are doing amazing things. And, you know, talking about hopping jobs, I feel like I'm the...
Yeah, you're like the bell ringer for it. And so I want to talk a little bit, get a little bit deeper into why this is such a common thing in Chicago and how it works, but that'll be after the break. I just want to kind of plug it and make sure you'll stick around for this. But until then, why don't you talk a little bit about what attracted you to working in a startup like Songfinch? What was it about it? I mean, obviously, I know you love telling the stories and things like that. What was it about the challenge of building a startup like Songfinch that drew you to it? Because you certainly have other opportunities.
Well, for me, you know, I've been doing this the angel stuff and very involved in tech, and Songfinch was the first one that I guess really spoke to me, or should I say sang to me.
Sang to, yes.
Yeah. And I was one of the initial investors, and I was seeing this thing just get kicked off the ground by our CEO, John, and Rob, and Josh, and the whole team. And I was just, this is just too friggin' cool. Like, this could really change the world in some way. Music is a universal language that transcends time, it transcends place, and there's all these amazingly talented singer-songwriters and music professionals out there that can't really earn a living with what they love to do, and this was this unique opportunity in a society and in a business world that demands content more than ever, where this is this neat nexus for us to create content for podcasts, for radio shows, for YouTube channels, whatever it might be, at a price point that's reasonable, and to pay the artist community for what they love to do. And most importantly, it just brings good people together. It often can be hard for us in this day and age with technology and emojis and all these things to really express our feelings in a way that cuts through the noise. And to hear these songs and how much love is being spread just every single time we make one of these, it's about love. Nobody makes one of these to tell somebody that they hate them, yeah, or that, you know, that you're...
You could. I mean, conceptually, I feel like I kind of, like, that actually something that now intrigues me. Like, I could make a song that's like, dude, I really don't like you. I want to write a song about it.
Well, hey, you know what?
It's your money. You can spend it however you want.
Your $200 is great. As long as your money's good, that's fine by us. We'll find the right artist to bring your first hate song to life. But, you know, in the experience of doing 300-400 of these now, we've very rarely seen anything that wasn't about love. Yeah. And to be able to take these complex feelings that we have for all of those around us, whether it's friends or family or your spouse, and to distill it into this powerful thing that can take 30 years of a relationship or history and condense it into 3 minutes, 3.5, 4 minutes of beautiful music that your spouse or your loved one has forever and gets to play when they want. It's really hard to put a price on that or how much it means to folks. And I think our reviews speak to that. If you go on Trustpilot and look up Songfinch, I think we've got 65 reviews, and every single one of them is 5-star. That my wife cried, my husband cried, we played this for the first dance at our wedding, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And to be able to engage people at that level where you're triggering tears of joy, I've never been around a product that can do that. And, you know, you're good for that maybe once a year where you do something just right. And
I was just going to say.
Your fiance cries tears of joy. It's like, well, we can manufacture that.
The funny thing, I was just going to say, it's like, I hate that you're a good marketer because, not for me personally, I'm good. For all, like, the single guys out there that like to croon themselves a song to pick up, you know, their significant others, I hate that you're such a good marketer because people are going to all know that these songs came from Songfinch. You know, this guy's like singing his girlfriend a song, like, oh, no, no. And then, and it's not even his song. You wrote it, which is amazing.
But you know what? It's really the people that write it. We take their stories, their memories, their input, whatever they give us is what creates the content of the song. Like, I actually have made a song to ask my lovely fiance, Stephanie Roebuck. I hope you're listening.
She has to be listening. Yeah. That's why she's not here.
Well, she's working today. Oh, you know, well, that's startup hustle, man.
Startup hustle. Got the grind.
You know how we do. But you know, I made her a song to ask her to marry me on New Year's Eve. And to this day, whenever she hears it, she still starts to tear up. And we're going to use it as the first dance in our wedding. And, you know, hopefully it's something we're going to play for our kids someday. And you can be transported back to that memory, to that moment in time through music. And,
yeah,
and to be able to do that at scale for hundreds and thousands of people, it's just a really incredible opportunity and something that I just couldn't resist to throw myself into 100%, and we're really excited. It's been great for the first 6 months. We're the company's in great shape, and we're going to take this thing to the next level here. You're going to be hearing a lot more about us.
I have no doubt. We're going to hear more from you in a second. We're going to take a quick break. Somebody's got to pay the bills around here. So we're going to have you come back here and talk a little bit more about, you mentioned the startup grind, what that looks like, what it's all about. I'm Scott Catoon, and you're listening to WGN Radio 720. Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm Scott Catoon. This is TechNori live from WGN Radio. We're still sitting here with our buddy Michael Stark from Songfinch. You mentioned a couple things before we took the break that I just wanted to touch back on, because we've got people. Hello, everyone who's out there watching the show today. We've got people who, in this audience, as well as in your audience and my audience and our world, that ultimately, I think, want to know, as a repeat founder and a person who's been involved with multiple companies, myself and yourself, what exactly it takes and why is there such an attraction to start your own company? You know, there's a line that's a cheese ball line, in my opinion, but it's a line nonetheless that people use it. Why would someone work 100 hours a week to avoid working 60 hours a week or 40 hours a week? I don't even know. That's how far removed I am. I don't even know what a normal work week looks like. Is it 40 hours?
It's a great question.
I have no idea.
Asking the wrong guy.
But yeah, so you mentioned the hustle. You mentioned the fact that this is a 7 day a week job and your mind is always zooming because there's always someone right behind you. And so kind of talk to me a little bit about your experience as both an investor and a founder, about what it is, not just being a startup, not just an entrepreneur, but in Chicago. What is it about the Chicago entrepreneurship that has compelled you enough to do this multiple times and continue to keep doubling down and going back? What is it that really attracts you ultimately?
Well, for me, it's manifest destiny in a sense. It's this opportunity. You know, there are a lot of great corporate jobs out there, and Lord knows I've had plenty of opportunities to go back into that. And I sit there and I think about, well, what do I really want to be in a cubicle again, working for mid-level management, turning in TPS reports and all that? And the community here is just so vibrant. It's almost intoxicating that there's so much energy, so much just genuine desire to help each other and to help each other succeed and to create something of value and to create something that the city and hopefully the country and the world respects and appreciates and find value in. It's to create, it's to build. And Chicago has an amazing community for that, and we take care of each other, and there's a sense of brotherhood.
And that's all, I mean, obviously that's one of the things that I personally enjoy the most is sort of I'm not going to say just camaraderie, because there's definitely, I mean, of course there's camaraderie, but I'm a competitive person. So like, I love when somebody else is chasing me down. It's like, okay, all right, game on. We're going to do this. And I know you're a competitive guy too. So this is definitely, you know, one of the things that probably drives most entrepreneurs is that whole, like, you're not going to be able to do this, or somebody's got more money than me, or somebody's got more whatever resources and assets than me. To me, that's like an invitation to just rock on. But the thing that I'd like to hear from you directly is, you said that you were an early investor in Songfinch. You saw where they were going. As an entrepreneur, what was it that you said, you know what, I can bring value in this company, I can add more than just funds, and here's the one thing I want to do? How did you sort of, like, for the audience, I guess the reason I ask you this, the audience, I want them to have the ability to know they too can get involved in startups, that they can find a place where they can bring value. What was the value you thought you could bring, and how has it been entering a team to something you didn't found?
Well, you know, and that's actually been an interesting challenge for me. I've been, you know, kind of in charge the last 4 or 5 years, whether it was CLA.
I mean, that's a great example. Built that real fast.
Yeah, you know, and we're really proud of what we've done. We're getting legislation passed. We're working with Tech Week to raise $1 million for STEM education through Tech Week Charity Challenge. So please look that up and donate if you want to support the next generation tech entrepreneurs in Chicago. But for me, it always comes back to that, what you touched on, value. I always look at every situation and, like, how can I provide value? What are their motivations? What are their incentives? What are they trying to do? And then I look at the resources I have available to me based on, you know, the network I've built and the technical expertise I've acquired over the years. And I analyze and I say, okay, well, what are the gaps? Where can I fill in? And that's why the title executive producer is just kind of fitting for me at this. It's because what I do changes every day. Yeah. I'm often the glue guy. I help pull things together and
Swiss Army knife. That's the thing.
Hey, you point me in a direction and I'll figure out how to make things happen, whether that's raising capital, whether that's putting together corporate and strategic partnerships, whether that's, you know, doing radio spots like this to promote it. I love being an evangelist. I'm passionate about what I do, and I love helping other people experience and feel that passion that I have for it.
Well, I think that's the cool thing is, in the startup world, you know, compared to regular corporate gigs, you know, you've got to get hired. You've got to, they have to issue your own cubicle. You have to have a nice, crinkly, traveler's Joseph A. Banks t-shirt that they give you. You know, it's a little bit more stringent and you can't choose the role that you want to be. You can't really choose what you want to work on, and the day becomes monotonous. And what we've noticed about the Chicago entrepreneur system, ecosystem, and this is the case in other cities, but Chicago is uniquely different in that a lot of the people standing right outside the studio right now could go to 1871, go to TechNexus, go to Catapult, go to MHub, go to all these different incubators in Chicago and mentor, lend a hand, just ask questions. They can invest their money if they want through equity crowdfunding. But more importantly, they can invest their time and they can say, listen, I know you guys are literally running 1,000 miles an hour. You're on, you know, 100 hours a week. There's three of you. You're not taking salaries. What can I do to help you get somewhere? And in your case, you know, if you're a lawyer, can I review your docs? Is there something I can do to help? And that is the part that I think makes us so unique, is that all of the community of Chicago is really rapidly getting involved, to the point where when I started at WGN, I was talking about tech entrepreneurship and they looked at me like I was out of my mind. And now the show preceding me and the show after me will be interviewing people in tech. They'll be talking about tech entrepreneurs. Amy was talking about cord cutting, talking about internet privacy. There's a whole bunch of things. And so as a guy like yourself who's been here for a long time, it's got to be pretty cool to see all of this stuff sort of blowing up around us.
Well, you know, we looking back at the Stark Show at Advisor TV, my very first episode, I interviewed Joe Dwyer from Founder Equity and Digital Intent, one of my great friends and mentors here in Chicago, doing some amazing stuff in the VC space. But Joe told me on that first show I did that every company in the United States is a tech company, whether they know it or not. And to be on the edge of this and seeing all these other folks and companies realize, you know, what's happening and just how critically important this is, it puts us in an interesting spot. I'm sure you find it too, where, you know, people that are 15, 20 years your senior are now coming to you for advice for like, what is this? And it's like, well,
I've been thinking they should have been doing that for a long time. I know that I'm going to be a minority, maybe make people a little upset, but I always sat to think like, this is such a, you know, such a backwards way to do things. We have technology that like cuts so many like moves out of this that I've always thought and this is why I don't want to speak for you, but this is why I gravitated towards my own company and startups, is because when I worked with larger companies and worked with partners, even as a consultant, I would sit there and be like, dude, you know, there's like a 5 or 10 times more easier way to do this. But for whatever reason, you've chosen to not adopt change. And so, you know, to your point, I struggled to sit there and have somebody look at me and not look at me as an authority in something that I knew I was in authority in. And now to see them coming back and like, you know, I probably should have listened then. And, you know, it's just really cool, you know, not just because of the ego. It's really cool in general.
Well, and that's what the allure of the startup world is. It's the challenge. There's no playbook. You know, we're coming in here trying to solve problems that other people might not have even noticed existed. You know, that's the whole first part of this, is identifying the problem.
And, absolutely.
And once you identify it and figure out, then you can put together the solution that makes the most sense. And for us with Songfinch, you know, we split our proceeds 50-50 with the artists. So we're paying up and coming artists to do what they love to do. We're transforming real people's stories into these amazing radio quality songs. And it solves a problem that people didn't know existed. You know, you look back 50-100 years, the love letter was how people communicated, and now we've got a kissy face with a couple hearts coming
now
out.
Now you got
of
a giphy and a song.
Yeah, and now it's like we can combine the best of those worlds with tech and that love letter type feeling and the level of emotion that comes with it, and it's resonating. It's resonating with our customers, and that's the most satisfying thing to me, is that we have not gotten a single review that isn't 5 stars, and to put that out there in the world is just something that I take great pride in, and we love doing it.
Very cool. Michael, thank you so much. Thank you for talking a little bit about Songfinch, and we're going to take a quick break here and we'll be back. I'm Scott Catoon. This is WGN Radio.